Scripture this morning comes from the book of Mark. This is chapter 10, and it's verses 17 through 31. So Mark 10, 17 through 31. As Jesus was starting on his way again, a man ran up, knelt before him, and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not accuse anyone falsely. Do not cheat. Respect your father and your mother." "Teacher," the man said, "ever since I was young, I have obeyed all these commandments." Jesus looked straight at him with love and said, "You need only one thing. Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor, and you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me." When the man heard this, gloom spread over his face, and he went away sad because he was very rich. Jesus looked around at his disciples and said to them, "How hard it will be for rich people to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were shocked at these words, but Jesus went on to say, "My children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is much harder for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle." At this, the disciples were completely amazed and asked one another, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked straight at them and answered, "This is impossible for human beings, but not for God. Everything is possible for God." Then Peter spoke up, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." "Yes," Jesus said to them, "and I tell you that those who leave home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and for the gospel will receive much more in this present age. They will receive 100 times more houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children and fields, and persecutions as well. And in the age to come, they will receive eternal life. But many who are now first will be last, and many who are now last will be first." The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Lord, this morning as we look at these verses and we talk about this young man, would you teach us? Would you help us to understand why this was written down so long ago and has survived so long that it even speaks to us today? In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen. When I was a little boy, I loved to read stories, adventure stories especially. I really enjoyed stories about pirates. Oh, I don't mean the kind of real pirates that there are in the world. That's pretty violent, pretty awful stuff. But, you know, the fiction kind of pirates, the Hollywood kind of pirates. Edgar Allan Poe wrote a wonderful little story. It's called The Gold Bug. And I remember that. I enjoyed it so much. The book that I had of that had a treasure map in the back pages. And sometimes I would think about that. You know, I could follow the map. You could use your imagination as a little girl, little boy, and dream of things. And every once in a while I would think about going and digging up the treasure. As I grew older, I haven't left all of my childhood. The Bible says you have to be mature in the faith. It doesn't say so much that you have to be an adult. As a matter of fact, it says that our faith has to be that of a child. And so with great delight, a number of years ago when the girls were young, Barbie and I took them to Walt Disney World in Florida, and you know, the Pirates of the Caribbean. By the way, that particular attraction has been out of service for a little while. They've refurbished it, and it's open again. But we went to the Pirates of the Caribbean, and I don't think Barbie really liked the first drop, into there. But it was so much fun. And you ride in a boat through this pirate's village and some other things. And oh, boy. Pirates, yeah. Hollywood kind of pirates. They're really fun. And treasure? What young boy doesn't dream of a chest full of gold and jewels? That might be his. So this morning, we have to lay some groundwork for this lesson. We need to take a look at John chapter 14. Jesus had been with the disciples. He had told them one more time that he was going to be leaving soon. He was going to leave and he would go to heaven, and one day he would return again. But the disciples were particularly upset about this. So from John chapter 14, this is the first 7 verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. A belief is essential for a Christian. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And so there it is, the promise of eternal life, the promise of heaven. But Thomas, I'm sure that some of the other disciples were thinking it. I'm not sure what Jesus is talking about, the way. And Thomas is bold, as we know, and he says to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. The word of the Lord. And so there's this understanding, there's this belief, even in the community of Jesus' day, a belief by some that Jesus was the way. In our world right now, they would say, Pastor Don, you can't believe there is only one way. And what I will tell you is that's what Jesus said. And you've been trying to disprove Jesus in our society for a couple thousand years now. And the truth is still the truth. So in the midst of this business about treasure in heaven, the scripture talks to us about a rich young man. This was a young man who had many possessions. He had a very prominent social standing in the community. But he was looking for something that was really valuable to him. Eternal life. Now, I'm sure that with this young man's wealth, he could get anything he wanted. He just had to pay for it. You and I know that whenever we need something, whenever we want something, we go to the place that has it. If we need fruits and vegetables, we go to grocery store, yes. Why? Because we know that's where we will find them. If we go to the doctor and we get a prescription, we go to the pharmacy, the drugstore, because we know that's the place where they are dispensed. And if we want a really good ice cream sundae, we go to Lena's in Oshkosh. You see, we know where to go. This young man, he went to Jesus. He asking Jesus about eternity and how he could get there because he knew that this was the place to go. Why does he know that? Oh, I think this is just God working in ways that is absolutely marvelous. But this man in a society that wasn't so sure about Jesus, he knew. And so he goes to Jesus because that's the place that you go. And I have to give this man credit. He asked Jesus. Even in our day, there were many back then, but even in our day, there's folks that know that Jesus is the way, the truth, the life, but they won't seek Jesus out, and they won't ask him how to live, or how to die, or how to do both. Jesus answers the young man, and he quotes from Exodus chapter 20 out of the Bible. He says, don't be a murderer. Don't be an adulterer. Don't go around stealing things or lying or cheating. And be sure that you take care of your mom and your dad. And this young man, he was very quick to tell Jesus, oh, I've done all of that. You see, that would be part of the requirements for a Jewish man. He had been taught that as a youngster. And then at about the age of 12, he's now considered a man in the society. And now he is responsible for keeping the commandments. We know that this is a young man, but he's certainly some older than 12. And so he's able to tell Jesus, I've been keeping all of those commandments. And in a way, he's saying to Jesus, now because I've been keeping the commandments, I want a guarantee. I want a guarantee that I can have eternal life. You see, that's the condition of every human being, male or female, that wants to attain eternal life or a relationship with God by doing it of their own merit, of their own works. And so he's got the right idea, but he's missed the way a little bit. And then you have to admire the next beautiful words that is found in verse 21. Jesus looked at this young man and he loved him. He loved him, even though the young man was a little bit confused. And so I ask you this morning, do you know? Do you personally know that gaze that comes from the face of the Christ upon you? Now, that gaze of love that comes from the Lord. Most of us are never going to see Jesus in this lifetime with our physical eyes. But I'm here to tell you this morning and remind you of something you already know, that if you'll let Christ into your life, he'll give you a set of spiritual eyes too. And with your spiritual eyes, you'll be able to see things that your natural eyes are unable to see. Jesus knows your heart. He knows everything that's going on in your mind. He understands your intent, and he sees your potential. And so he loves you, just like this young man. Oh, you know, sometimes we can fool people, you and me, with a good story. Sometimes we can fool our friends and family, but we will never be able to fool Jesus. And so maybe this rich young man comes to see Jesus and he just doesn't know any other way to live than to pay for things by himself. And he doesn't understand the motives of his own heart. Matthew 6:21 sums it up. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. But Jesus knew the man, and listen once again in verse 21. One thing you lack, Jesus said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And then we have to use our imagination of the look on this young man's face. This young man had come running to Jesus. He heard that Jesus was in the area. He came running to him and he fell to his knees. He calls him teacher because he understands who he is. And now he's asked this question, and the answer he receives, he's like the proverbial deer in the headlights. He's stunned. This wasn't the answer at all that he was expecting. It was the one thing in his whole life that the man would not possibly give up for eternal life. He had everything money could buy. And money had become the God with a small g of his life. There was one of the commandments that Jesus left out when he quoted to this young guy. You need to keep them. He left out the very first one. This is Exodus 22 and 3. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Jesus wanted this young man to figure it out himself. He didn't want to have to prompt him to understand that. But the young man couldn't. And so what happens to the man? Says he goes away sad. I don't want any of you to ever have to go away sad. So I ask you this morning, sincerely, is there anything in your life that you have to give up in order to follow Jesus? He knows, he understands. He's waiting for that conversation. And he'll walk with you right through it. Now please understand that Jesus asks very few people to sell everything they have and give all their money away to the poor. But he does ask us to get rid of anything that has become more important in our lives than God, with a capital G this time. If your security, the basis for living your life, has shifted from God to what you own, then you seriously need to think about your possessions. It doesn't tell us in the Bible if the young man ever figured it out, because God is a God of many chances. And so if you sit here today and the Lord is touching this thought on your heart about who you keep as God in your life. And the devil will come and he'll tell you, oh, now you've blown it. Your secret is out. I want you to know that God still cares and loves you. That God really wants to work with you now. You don't have to worry about the things in your past. Let's just care for them, and then we'll look to the future, walking with Jesus. And so, my brothers and sisters, I've been praying for you. And I'm especially praying this day that you'll go home, that you'll find some time today that you can fall on your knees in prayer, and that you can speak to the Lord, and that you can listen, and that you will ask Him, is there anything in my life that stands as a barrier to a full and complete relationship with you? And then listen, trust the Lord, He will not hurt you. You just pray about your relationship, about this great treasure that we have in a relationship with Jesus. And then whatever He tells you to do, you go ahead and do it. When I was a young boy, I dreamed about treasure chests full of pirates' gold. And I'm so grateful to God. I had a pretty thick head and a pretty hard heart, but eventually He got through. Praise be to Him that I found out that the true treasure in life is a person. He is Jesus the Christ. And I'm praying for you specifically that if you haven't had that experience already, that you'll have it soon. That you will know. And then you won't have to walk away sad. You can walk away rejoicing. Amen.